Today is April 22nd, 2015, and this is episode number 303 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, a tempest in a teapot. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Okay, so I had to bite my tongue because I didn't want to interrupt you, but as soon as you said tempest in a teapot, the first thing that came to mind was fast cosmic powers, itty-bitty little living space.
Don't even know what you're talking about.
You're dead to me. That's from Aladdin, the Disney movie.
You know, I'm not much of a fan of the Bob Iger. No, not Bob. I am a fan of Bob Iger. It's the other guy. Who did he replace? Eisner. Michael Eisner.
Right.
I'm not a fan of his era. I should probably give that movie a shot.
Robin Williams does a wonderful job of voicing the genie.
And, yeah, fair enough.
And from what I've been told, a lot of the genie's dialogue is Robin Williams riffing.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. Hey, we're recording a podcast about Apple right now.
Oh, I thought we were getting into our movie critiques.
No, not yet. That's the other podcast we do. let's see here. We have Apple Watch shipping in a couple of days. That's kind of fun, so let's not talk about that.
no, because we don't have one showing up.
Yeah, well, at least not yet. Yeah, we did. We ran a piece today. When are you shipping again?
Mine is May 13th at the earliest is what they're saying.
May 13th, right? Okay, so I'm a 13th through the 27th as well.
Yes.
Now earlier this week we had, I guess just on Monday, so 2 days ago, we had or was that yesterday? Anyway, earlier this week we had orders that were scheduled for delivery between the 24th, which is Friday, and May 8th. That would be the first batch. That's mm-hmm. what the people who were able to order in the first 2-3 minutes, that was their window delivery time, right?
Right. And minutes 4 and 5, well, that pushes us out to May 13th.
Yeah, right. It's 4 and 5. And people with those with that first order time frame started getting their credit cards charged, and their orders changed from, at least some of them, changed from processing items to preparing to ship, right?
Right.
And that has traditionally meant that Apple has got the thing made, it's packaged, and it's about to ship. It's, you know, just...
Yeah, there's maybe a sticker on the box, or just waiting for a truck.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe doing paperwork or whatever. And then today, we received a screenshot from a customer who had a May 13th through May 27th delivery schedule, but he also had his credit card charged and got had his order status changed from processing items to preparing to ship. But the delivery time didn't actually change. It still says delivery between May 13th and May 27th.
That's kind of fascinating.
And at the same time, no one's actually gotten like a UPS notification, but I don't actually think you get those.
No, but some people I heard are doing that thing where they use like their phone number to do a UPS tracking. Mm-hmm. and they're getting tracking numbers already.
Oh, that's clever.
Yes.
That's clever. But you and I, our orders have not changed. We are still sitting at processing items.
Yes.
Because Apple hates us.
You know, that's my assumption. That they picked out our orders specifically, and we're like, nope, gonna uh-huh. make them wait.
Yeah. I'm firmly convinced of that. But, so it's interesting. Here's what I actually think. I think we're going to see a lot of Apple Watches delivered on April 24th. And I think that Apple was doing a way under promise and over deliver thing for those second batches. I think it's kind of likely that we'll see our Apple Watches before May 13th.
I'm thinking it's likely as well. And I can see where a lot of people are really concerned that Apple is botching this entire launch process, because we haven't actually seen a watch show up and everyone's getting anxious and they're not seeing their status change for their order. But yeah, I think the watches are going to start showing up on the 24th. I think you and I will have ours before the 13th.
Yeah, I think so. We're not going to have ours on Friday, but I think that if someone has gotten a delivery, if someone has gotten their credit card charged today, I would imagine they're going to see their Apple Watch on Monday or Friday even. I think it's quite possible.
Yeah, well, assuming that the watches are staged in an area where they can be quickly loaded onto shipping vehicles.
It's what Apple does.
That's what Apple does. Then they could start rolling stuff out tomorrow and still have it in people's hands or on their wrists on Friday.
Even from China.
They can't do it that fast from China, can they?
They can, yeah.
Oh, that's just, they have alien technology. That's all there is to it.
I think it's probably easier to do with FedEx than it is with UPS. I think FedEx is infinitely more organized and sophisticated with their deliveries. Could be wrong about that. It's always been my feeling, though.
But they have a pretty impressive system.
Yeah, that they do. So our point is that Apple Watch is just about here. Right? We are so close. We're so excited. And with this device comes great opportunity for someone. And really, that great opportunity is for we, the users. But sometimes sometimes it's for developers, too.
Sure.
And there was a quote from a CNN suit that Recode published. Sort of got me thinking, and I was thinking about writing about this, and I haven't yet. But so maybe you and I can talk this out so that I can actually write something cogent.
Sure. This is like our listeners are getting to sit with us at our planning table.
Yeah. So what? CNN's chief product officer Alex Wellen. He said to Recode, "Quote: It's important to go to the user. No longer can we ask them to come to us."
Hmm.
And here's what I thought about that. Developers, content providers in particular, but really anyone, they need to not mistake what they need for what we want.
Yeah, that's a really important distinction.
And in particular with notifications, we saw this with iOS. When iOS finally got notifications, Android had it first. Android had notifications first. When iOS finally got notifications, there was sort of this rush from developers, and many of them would, you know, like, you know, games or like notify you to go buy something notify you of stuff that they want us to know, but we don't want to know.
Yeah, it was being used as an advertisement platform, not as a notification system.
Yeah, and as a nuisance platform. Right? I mean, you know, developers got so excited about this ability to shove information in our faces, they did it without actually thinking about what kind of information we wanted.
And that's a problem.
And that it's a huge problem, because for most of us, we'll just turn notifications off,
right?
And especially for those of us who actually manage our devices closely, we might turn off notifications for a particular app because they're a nuisance.
Right. Well, and for me, yeah, I do that, well, on a regular basis, but I've had to deal with so many of these, I'll call them spammy notifications, that when an application gives me the dialogue when I first launch it, asking to be able to send me notifications, I have to actually think, do I want this app telling me anything?
Yeah, I tend to default to no, by the way.
And I tend to default to no.
If I end up, like, I'm clearly excited about the app, I'll eventually turn it on.
Yeah. Well, and there's some apps for me where it just made sense for them to be turned on. Like OmniFocus. I want the notifications that it's going to give me.
Right.
Of course, the Omni Group, the people that make OmniFocus, they have not broken that trust.
Well, no, because the Omni Group gets it, man. They're great developers, but they're also, they're fans of the platform. They make the kind of software they want to use, which, you know, is, generally speaking, to me, is a sign of a great developer. I'll say it this way. Being a great developer usually starts there.
Yes, it's a very critical component.
Yes.
Yeah,
and their software shows. Yeah. And they're also proud. They're proud enough of their software to charge for it, which is another thing that I like.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I
and yes, I have paid for the apps that I have on my iPhone.
Even though they probably give them to you for free.
Yeah.
Because they're good apps. But there's a company that certainly gets it right. A lot of developers got iPhone notifications wrong, and still do. But there's a huge difference between iPhone and Apple Watch. With iPhone, when we got notifications, the hard sell on smartphones was already closed. Right? We knew that we needed and wanted smartphones in our lives.
Right, but we still, just as a whole, need to be convinced that we need to have smartwatches.
Yeah. Some of us may need more convincing than others, Jeff. but I think where the hard sell remains with the smartwatch is how we're going to use it. This is kind of comes back to that thing I said where the use case on Apple Watch is a lot closer to iPad than it is iPhone. With the iPhone, when it was first announced, the internet in your pocket was all Steve Jobs needed to tell us.
Right.
We knew right then and there we had to have this thing.
Right. And we had a history already of being frustrated with the devices that we were using that it was going to compete with and ultimately replace.
Yeah, it's like what Johnny Ive, I think he just said this again. I've got this up right now. Some Condé Nast interview, he was saying that let's see here, let me find this phone here. He said, when we started on the iPhone, it was because we all couldn't bear our phones. The watch was different. We all loved our watches, but saw that the wrist was a fabulous place for technology. So there were different motivations. But that point there, no one liked phones, right? I mean, texting on pre-iPhones was miserable,
except for
possibly BlackBerry devices. Right, BlackBerry was the first company to make texting suck less.
That's true. Yeah, and then the Palm Treo that came along and that was okay too.
Yeah, no, Palm was doing some very interesting things, that's for sure. But you know, no one, you know, the it was the internet in your pocket that just, like, we all got that. We all understood that with the iPhones. We've got to have that. When the iPad was announced, many of us knew that we wanted it, but few of us knew what we were going to do with it because we just didn't know yet. We didn't know what kind of experience it would be. We didn't know what kind of apps there would be. We didn't know what kind of content there would be. We didn't know what it was going to be like to carry the thing. There were just lots of things we didn't know about the iPad. So even those of us who knew we wanted one didn't necessarily know how we were going to use it.
Right. Yeah, and that's where I feel like I am right now with Apple Watch.
Exactly. It's very analogous. Many of us want Apple Watch. Some of us want it more than others. Brian. And, but we don't yet know how we're going to use this thing. We don't really know how it's going to fit into our lives. You know, there are things that appeal to me, like activity monitor. You know, Brian, you've been sitting on your rear end for another hour, so why don't you get up and move? Well, I'm going to be honest. I you know, I write for a living. Mm-hmm. I work out of my house. I sit on my butt a lot. Right?
Yeah, so that's the nature of our business.
I'm kind of excited about the gamification aspects. I know that there are other people who have gamified fitness. Apple is not going to be the first company to do this. But, you know, this device sitting on my wrist, giving me a tap, you've been sitting on your rear end for a while. I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping that will help me change my level of fitness, especially over time.
Sure.
So that's one thing.
Hey, taking us down a rabbit hole for a second, have I told you what my killer app is that I want for Apple Watch? And it totally relates to the fitness and alerting you to get up and walk.
Nope.
I want to have a location-based feature so that my Apple Watch knows when I go into a movie theater. And then it doesn't give me that you need to get up and walk notice after an hour. Because I'm imagining 30 people all sitting in a movie theater at the same time. And, you know, and so we all sit down at about the same time. So an hour into the movie, all of our Apple Watches start alerting everyone that it's time to get up.
Well, it should be tapping you. Shouldn't be making an audio alert. If you have your iPhone, if you have your Apple Watch giving you an audio alert that you need to move, and you're using it wrong. I'm gonna quote Steve Jobs. You're holding it wrong.
Yeah, well,
that should be a tap only kind of thing. No one else needs to know that you need to get off.
Regardless of how it's held, this is something that I really want. So whoever it is out there that makes this location based thing to mute that notification, let me know so that I can sing your praises.
All right, fair enough. So that is one thing that I know that I want to do with it, but that's still not like that's not like how the Apple Watch is going to interact with my life. That's just a particular usage thing. And I would imagine that lots of people have something that they've seen with the Apple Watch that appeals to them, but we still don't know exactly how we're going to interact with it because we don't have it yet, and we haven't seen the software yet. And in many cases, the developers haven't even seen an Apple Watch yet.
That's right?
So
true.
We've got a while to go before we understand this device. And for that reason, if developers and content providers in particular, and I'm looking at you, CNN, if you mess up notifications, you're going to be messing up, period.
Right, and you're going to mess it up for other developers.
That's possible. You will certainly mess it up for yourself. People will delete your app in a heartbeat if you try to shove crap down our faces that you want us to have, but we don't want to have. We will ditch your apps on the Apple Watch something fierce and fast.
Yes. And actually, based on what CNN told Recode,
yeah,
I don't even want to put their app on my Apple Watch.
No. Well, no, I wouldn't put CNN's app. Until Jon Stewart buys CNN and remakes it into something that is quality and offers value, I wouldn't put their app on my Apple Watch in the first place. But that's just me.
Well, there you go. It's not that it was high on my list of apps that I wanted to have on launch day, but okay. So what I'm saying is that CNN ensured that I'm not going to get their app.
Yeah, there are very few news apps that I would put on my Apple Watch. It would be. I have to really care about the site to put those notifications on my Apple Watch.
Yeah.
What kind of things would you want to see in your, like right now, without having, you know, worn one for real and being able to install what you want for real? What is your image right now of what you would put on it? Like what kind of notifications would you like to get is what I'm asking.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I want notifications for my upcoming schedule-related notifications, and I want to have my tasks that I've put into OmniFocus showing up, and then I want notifications for other very specific things. Like if there, I want allergy alert notifications because I have allergies.
Yeah, sure.
And dark sky, you know how they do their thing where they give you a notification on your iPhone when it's about to rain, where you are, not like in the area, but where you are.
Okay.
I went
there. No, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
That sounds kind of cool.
It's really cool. And unless it doesn't work right. And I actually had that happen when I was out visiting you.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, for some reason, Dark Sky continued to tell me every time it was going to rain at your place.
Oh.
I don't know. It was like 4 months.
Yeah. That's less than useful.
That wasn't useful. But that's the only time that's happened. So anyhow, the point is that being able to get the rain or snow notifications for where I am is really nice because, you know, you don't want to get caught in the rain without your umbrella or your Gore-Tex or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, sure. It's Gore-Tex, Jerry.
yeah, so those are the big things that I want. I like the idea of being able to discreetly check my text messages, since so much of the communication I do is text based. And yeah, so I like that as well. But there's things that I get, like notifications of Skype discussions. I don't want any of that on my iPhone.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. On your Apple Watch, you mean?
On my Apple Watch, sorry.
You do want it on your iPhone.
Yes, and I have it on my iPhone. And what that means is that when I'm out and about away from my desk, that my pocket is vibrating a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need that on your wrist.
No, not at all. So I'm actually going to have a very limited number of notifications that are on my wrist.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise. And I would take... I think I would take some stock alerts, but I only if I could really tailor it.
Sure.
Like I don't want hourly. I don't want regular. I probably want significant moves or if someone was I'd love to actually be able to have notifications for say an increase in the number of puts or calls for options.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. It is vaguely possible I would put news notifications on my Apple Watch if I could tailor it. If I could really, really tailor it. Really, really tailor it.
It would have to be... The control would have to be so granular before I would consider putting news notifications.
Yeah, exactly. I'd put Game of War notifications on my watch.
Well, it's all about priorities.
Exactly. I'd do that.
Okay. Now, what I could see doing is setting up some sort of notification that runs through if this, then that, so that I can have specific types of news that's being culled based on very, very tight parameters. And then when those things happen, then I can get a push notification from if this and that.
Ooh, like Twitter notifications from a specific person.
Yes.
I certainly don't want to see every Twitter mention cross my watch.
Right, but there's a handful of people, including you, that if you send me a message on Twitter, I want to know.
Yeah, right, exactly, likewise. And there are probably a very small number of people on Instagram.
Yes.
That I would actually like to know as soon as they post something, because I'm always really interested.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so the theme that I'm seeing come up here is that we want to have much finer control over our notifications on our iPhone or on our Apple Watch than we have on our iPhone.
That is the theme. That is totally the theme. We want a sort of granular control. Because, you know, the thing about Apple Watch, I'm sorry, the thing about iPhone is that it's okay if your notifications stack up because you can go look at them later.
Right.
When you're busy. But that's not. I mean, yeah, you can let your notifications stack up on your Apple Watch, but you can't take in 7 of them at a time.
Right.
Which you can on your iPhone. So yeah, but like I agree with you. I'd never put Skype notifications on my Apple Watch, but I absolutely have them on my iPhone. Really, I'd want to put. I don't think I receive so many text messages that I'd need to limit that by person. But you know, for everyone's different there.
Yeah, text messages. I'll let you know after I've had my Apple Watch for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I may, after a week, decide, okay, there's a handful of people that I want to get notifications on my watch for their text messages, and everyone else, they can just stay on my phone.
Right. I wouldn't mind seeing Apple Pay charges flash across my watch.
Yeah. Credit card charges.
Yeah.
I'd like to have those show up there. If I was going to have Apple Pay show up, I'd want to have my other credit card charger show up.
And that's in part for, because I like seeing those on my iPhone, but I'd rather see them. I would be happy to see them first on my Apple Watch. And from a fraud prevention standpoint, I think that's actually smart.
Sure. And so if you have your credit card charger showing up like that, it's not like it's going to be an overwhelming thing to see, because mm-hmm. You may have some recurring charges that are going to occur.
Right.
So when those happen throughout the month, you'll get the notification it went through. Okay, you know that happened. And right. For everything else, you run your credit card, and within a couple minutes, your watch should vibrate and let you know that charge just happened.
It's true. You know, it's as you're saying all this, as soon as I started getting Apple Pay notifications, I wish that I could have notifications for all of my credit card transactions.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I have Apple Pay and American Express, but I don't have notifications showing up for any of the other cards.
Yeah, that would be.
And I don't like that at all.
And I am also, I am super stoked, and I say this without having used it. I've experienced it in the Apple Store, but I haven't used it per se. I am super stoked about notifications that I'm the only one that feels, that no one else has to hear the ding.
I really like that too. I'm pretty excited about that. And after getting to play with an Apple Watch in the store,
mm-hmm.
I found that even though I didn't know which vibration meant what thing, I was able to very quickly tell apart the different vibration types.
Yeah, and you can customize that.
Right, so that's really cool. I love the idea of not having to look at anything, and just based on some vibration sequence on my wrist, I know exactly what just happened.
You know, by the way, some people have made fun of the being able to send heartbeats or send little messages to people.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that's going to be a big deal between close people.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I remember people making fun of FaceTime when it was a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a family, when you have special people in your life,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get to see them all the time, FaceTime is like a godsend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I totally agree with you. I think that the heartbeats on the watch, that's one of those things that's going to take Apple Watch from being a cool technology thing to a very personal device.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that the haters going to hate is the case for people criticizing that ahead of time.
Yeah, and the haters, they're always going to hate. And the rest of us, we're going to take advantage of something that has the potential to bring us closer to people.
Right. Now, one thing that brings me closer to people...
Yes.
Geektales.com.
Yeah, I can totally see why. I feel closer to you when I read geektales.com.
Yeah, well, you know, which is like funny because I actually haven't posted in a little bit too long. But let's pretend I didn't say that. We'll edit that out.
Okay.
And we'll just tell people that they should go to geektales.com. That's my personal blog. It's TELLS, geektales.com. It's my personal blog. It's where I write about things that are not Apple related. I'd love it if you came out, if you subscribe, get email notifications for those occasions when I do post a new update. And you have email notifications, too, over at freshbrewedtales.com.
I do. And I'd love it if you guys would go check out what I'm doing there.
I bugged you about that forever.
And then I did it.
Well, you make it sound like, yeah, I bugged you about that forever. And you didn't do it, 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 and then you did it.
And then I did it. But there was good reason for that. I was trying to sort out exactly what I was going to do with my whole theme framework and everything.
No, you were being strangely paranoid about WordPress Jetpack.
Okay, in the beginning. But then they fixed the things that I was worried about, and then I had other issues that I needed to work through.
You were paranoid about that for 2 years.
Yeah, well, I'm not paranoid about it now.
That's true.
I got over it.
So anyway, so you can subscribe and get email notifications so that when we put up something new, you'll get an email. So, you know, here's us. You have to opt into this. See, that's the thing. The opting in. You have to opt into that. So yeah. we're not just like pushing this on you. We want you to do it. This is what we want developers to think about. We want developers to think about what it is we want. I'm fairly comfortable that the only people that are going to subscribe to geektales.com are people that actually think that I have something interesting to say.
And that's my assumption for the people that have subscribed to Fresh Brew Tales, that they actually are interested in the ridiculous things I see people do in coffee shops.
It's true. I am. I love it. I'm so glad you got email notifications. So that's freshbrewedtales.com, and I'm over at geektales.com. We'd appreciate your patronage.
Yes, please. And besides that, it's fun to write things for you guys.
It is. It is. Now I have a question for you.
Okay.
Has Samsung fallen?
I think Samsung is stumbling in the smartphone market. Samsung itself has not fallen because they have so many markets that they are in that they're just not going to fall. But in the smartphone market, I think they have stubbed their toe and that they're stumbling around right now.
Well, there's definitely stumbling around. And I mean, I'll go back to, I'm going to try not to hurt myself patting myself on the back, but I'm going to go back to when I was saying for... I don't know, a year and a half before Apple came out with the iPhone 6, that Samsung got lucky being the first company to do large screen smartphones correctly, and that was their one claim to fame, and it was something that was extraordinarily easy to copy. Mm-hmm. And that when that happened, Samsung would just be another Android developer, and that's exactly what has happened. Oh, there goes a little muscle spasm.
You should have stretched first.
I should have stretched before I did this. That's right. And I think that's what we've seen. Now, I don't think Samsung has fallen, like you said. And I don't even know that they're stumbling around. And that's stumbling around a little bit different than having stumbled. But, I mean, you know, God, it's so funny. We saw all this with PCs and Windows. You know, for years, the hardware mattered in PCs. And the hardware maker mattered. And there were quality differences. And there were sometimes even feature differences. Certainly price differences. There were construction quality differences. There were logistical differences. You know, Dell's early claim to fame was fantastic. Best-in-class logistics for delivering and manufacturing.
Yeah, and they earned that reputation.
They did earn that reputation until, of course, everybody moved to Asia, where it was easy enough to hire enough people to completely destroy Dell's manufacturing U.S. manufacturing advantage. So, you know, even that eventually failed them. But for a while, they earned that solid reputation. But with Microsoft controlling the software, we got to a point 10, 12 years ago, at least, maybe longer ago than that, where the hardware stopped mattering. It doesn't really matter who makes your PC. And this is always going to be the case with hardware and software. It's the software that matters. It's the software that makes the hardware matter, is what I should say.
Yes, I'll totally agree with you on that. It's the software that makes the hardware worthwhile.
And yet, we saw this rush. Oh my God, we're all going to be Android OEMs, and it's going to be great because Google's not charging us, and we're going to kick Apple's butt, and everything's going to be awesome. And yeah, what do we have? We have the same thing happening, but infinitely more quickly. The hardware on the Android side is ceasing to matter. You've got the cheap Chinese companies like Xiaomi. You've got Samsung. You've got HTC, LG, all the usual players, Motorola / Lenovo. They increasingly matter less all of the time, and that will be increasingly the case because it is what Google does is doing to Android that's going to be the only differentiating factor from anything else. And I don't know. It's just it's weird and funny to me that they couldn't see that coming.
And you'd think they would see it coming because we've been through this before. It's all Battlestar Galactica. Everything that has happened before and will happen again.
So say we all.
The thing is with smartphones, so say we all. The thing with smartphones is that it's happening so much faster than it did with PCs. The market cycles are just moving so much. So they're quicker. There you go. And yet they still didn't pick up on this.
Even with MP3 players, you know, like first, you know, Microsoft was going to license stuff out, and then, you know, that was a failure. And then even when people were trying to make their own proprietary solutions to compete with iPod, they all failed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They weren't getting the key elements, which is all the parts have to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Apple still gets that.
All right, we're actually, just to let you know, just a little sausage making here. We're having a little bit of lag between Jeff and me, between me and Jeff. Mostly pedantic.
Mostly.
And so if any of this conversation ended up sounding a little disjointed, I apologize, but hopefully we've been able to get through our internet latency.
We can hope. Or people can just assume that we just finished up a wild party in the studios and we're having a little bit of an alcohol lag.
That could be that could be the case. But I had one more point.
Okay.
We've gotten to this era where Samsung has fulfilled its promise of being just another Android developer. And the company is going to probably continue to be one of the largest Android developers, OEMs, in the global market, one of them. Xiaomi will probably eventually be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But the era when, you know, it's like Apple versus Samsung, that's over and done with. It's over and done with until the next paradigm comes along and we've got some other product that we're talking about. I think that Apple is going to be the undisputed champion of smartphones in terms of profits and mindshare, and that Google will continue to do well by collecting information from jillions of Android device owners, but that individual hardware makers are just not going to matter that much.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so the next market that Apple is going to dominate, or apparently already is dominating, is the smartwatch market. So I guess it means Samsung needs to step up their game with the Galaxy Gear.
yeah, that's so not happening, man. That is so not happening. I tell you, you know, Google did a couple of things with Android Wear this week, but they're not going to be able to touch Apple with this because they're not controlling the whole widget. And I think that Apple's ability to marry Apple Watch to iPhone, and, you know, with iCloud backing it up, as flawed as iCloud could be sometimes, I think that Apple just has this massive edge, competitive edge, on making these devices be stuff that we actually want to use.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is Apple's game.
Yeah, I think so. All right, well, so let me ask you this. Now, I know you've been doing a lot of research this week, looking at Apple Watch apps.
Yes.
So what are you seeing so far?
I'm seeing a lot of cool stuff coming out. And when I say coming out, I mean it's there and it's ready. We just need watches for this stuff to go on. So I already mentioned a couple things: OmniFocus and Dark Sky, and now there's the 1Password app. So they've taken the whole 1Password thing and compressed it down into something that actually works on an Apple Watch. You're not going to use it for entering passcodes into websites and stuff, but for those places where you need to look up pieces of information, whether it's a key code to open a lock or a door, or you need to look up an account number when you're at the bank, it's right there. It's on your wrist, and it's very quick and easy to use. So I'm actually really excited to see 1Password on my Apple Watch. It's going to be there on day one with OmniFocus and Dark Sky. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. One that shouldn't come as a big surprise to you or anyone that knows me, Starbucks just updated their app, so it has Apple Watch support. So that means when I go in to pay for my iSoy chai, or as you lovingly refer to it, my chalk drink, instead of having to pull out my iPhone to process a transaction, I just need to hold my wrist up to the scanner. So
yeah, that's another one I'm looking forward to. That's good. Now, I have to ask, have you ever considered just getting some, Philips Milk of Magnesia and then, spooning a little spoonful of that into some water and then drinking that instead?
This may come as a surprise, but that doesn't sound quite as appealing. I know. But part of it's probably the social thing, because if I'm doing that at home, I'm not getting to meet interesting people and baristas and...
Yeah, that's the reason. That's the reason not to do that is the social stuff. It's not because it's a terrible idea.
Right. So, hey, another app that I've come across that unfortunately I can't use because they don't have coverage in Denver or Boulder, City Mapper. This is something you can take advantage of whenever you're roaming around San Francisco. And City Mapper, they do that whole thing where they help you navigate around big cities through the public transportation systems.
Mm.
And so now they've put it on your wrist. And I think that's a perfect use of the Apple Watch. You don't need to have your iPhone in your hand the whole time, but you want to have that access to that information. Which bus stop do I need to get to? When will the bus arrive? I need a notification when I'm reaching my stop. And that's a perfect place for all that stuff to be right on your wrist.
That really, really is. You know, and it's funny, one of the earliest use cases that I completely grokked, just instantaneously latched onto, was the idea of having a directions tapped on my wrist so that I didn't have to be looking down on the screen.
Yes, and I think that's absolutely fantastic that they're doing that. The Yelp app will do that. So you have a reservation for dinner. You get your notification it's time to head out, and so you start walking down the street. Now you've got your walking directions happening, so you're going to get your tap when it's time to turn.
How are the fitness apps shaping up?
They're starting to come along. The one that I'm really interested in looking at right now is the Runkeeper app, but that's because Runkeeper has a really good history of quality interface and giving you a lot of control over the information that you're collecting and the types of helpful hints that you're given, and so they've now put that onto the Apple Watch.
Hmm.
So that's pretty cool. One of the things that I'm really curious to see how it plays out with the fitness apps is how well, will they really be able to collect data when your iPhone isn't available? Because I'm liking the idea of when I go out for a run, not needing my iPhone with me.
Sure.
And still being able to collect all that data. I mean, right now, I actually run with my iPhone in my hand. And that's so lame.
Yeah, that is fairly lame. Yeah, no pockets in your running attire?
No. Well, okay, if it's cold out, I have a running jacket that has a breast pocket, and so I'll zip it into that. But when, if I'm not wearing that jacket, I don't have an armband that I like. I don't have anything else for putting the phone in, so it just stays in my hand.
Have you considered a lanyard around your neck?
No, Brian, I have not.
You could wear your iPhone on a lanyard around your neck and then like sort of like, you know, like duct tape it down.
I was thinking
so gold, it doesn't flop around.
Yeah, I was thinking gold trim around it and maybe get a grill and yeah. Yeah.
Am I not being helpful?
No, you're being incredibly helpful. Incredibly.
All right. Have you seen that? How many lists have you done now of Apple Watch apps?
Two, but I have more coming. So I did one yesterday about the apps that I think will be cool for showing off your Apple Watch features.
Okay.
And they're also useful. And
any standouts there you want to mention?
Actually, I think everything that I've just mentioned is on that list.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. If I'd read that article, I would have known that.
Yeah, if only. Yeah. Well, it's okay. There's still time because you don't have your Apple Watch yet.
That's true. Well, I'll read it before this goes before I publish this.
All right. Well, there you go.
And then that way I will have already read it.
Perfect. See, we live in a nonlinear time continuum.
It's wibbly wobbly.
It is. All right. The other one that I did this morning was what did I do? Social networking apps. For Apple Watch. So there's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitterific, Meetup, WeChat, WeCall.
What is Meetup? WeChat? Why in the heck? Meetup, huh?
Meetup makes sense because if you have your Meetup appointments or events scheduled in, then you're going to get your notifications.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Good point.
Yep. So, and I actually use the Meetup app a lot. That's how I find a lot of these tech groups that I go and check out. Hmm. And so I'm getting notifications on my iPhone. I might as well have notifications on my Apple Watch, too.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because you know remember that the majority of the Apple Watch apps that are going to be out in the first few weeks, maybe even the first several weeks, are going to be from developers who haven't had an Apple Watch on them. They've had a simulator on their Macs, and they've had simulators on their iPhones. And some of them have been brought in to spend quality time with Apple's engineers and Apple Labs.
Right, but they haven't had a lot of time.
They haven't had the time to actually make these devices part of their lives.
Right.
And that's going to be the thing that's going to be when developers have had a chance to do that. When they've had that chance to, like, you know what I'd like is, you know, when they've had those moments that are based on living with this device, that's going to be when we're going to see some really cool stuff come out.
Yes, I agree.
And I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
All right, so this is going to be a little bit shorter show this week. I know you have to be somewhere.
Yeah, kind of funny that I mentioned finding tech groups through Meetup because I need to head out so that I can go check out a new one that I found.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, then let's let you do that.
Well, all right. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
See here, our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, the bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Unless you're looking down at your Apple Watch.
And then we'll just vibrate your arm.